Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Start your engines with Rod and Cody and get ready to gamble on the Daytona 500 this Sunday.
Hi, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 296. Going to go out to someone else who gave us a review recently, the one TC87. Thank you for a review. It's a little too heavy on the praise for Gumby. It's almost like he knows Gumby somehow related to him, but he does say it's his go-to listen before any MMA event. I don't really know if he does listen, though. I may have to find that out. But anyhow, thank you, the one TC. And thank you, everyone else, for listening to the podcast. We are back with another amazing episode. We're going to be covering the main card of this Saturday's UFC fight night. We did the exciting prelims last episode, so make sure you check that out as well. But this episode is all about the five-fight main card and our locks, dogs, parlays, props, all that fun stuff. But I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to bring in the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland to share in the excitement. Hello.
Hey, I'm pretty sure he listens to about, I'm going to say 5% of the stuff that I record, which is, you know, maybe a smattering of like, you know, when I got a big interview on Top Turtle, he'll tune in, you know, if there's a big card for this show. Yeah, one of these. He occasionally watches the YouTube videos when I show up on VEASAN's First Take, which I've been doing quite a bit lately. So like,
you never tell us about that. You gotta get better at self-promotion.
I'm pretty sure I'm on every week now. Like they just, I think I've been on the last 15 of them. So and they come out on Tuesdays now. So
well, how are we supposed to know that, Gumby? We do now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a Gumby fanatic,
Gumby head.
I think I usually retweet the link. You can follow me on Twitter at Gumby Vreeland. Do that.
All you Gumby marks out there, he's a shy guy. He doesn't want us to know. But are you doing these shows at insane hours of the day or
I've pretty much stopped doing when they were having me do the live shows, man. Dude, those were they were brutal because they're on Vegas time and I'm on East Coast time, and so I think they were airing in Vegas at like 11:30 at night, which means it's airing here at like 2:30, which is not a time that I can be recording stuff. So no, First Take is their UFC themed show only. So I don't come in as the UFC expert. I come in as in one of the many people to talk about UFC, and they're all pre-recorded, I think.
You are the UFC expert though, Gumby.
Thank you.
Regardless of who's on, you are maybe Laura Sanko could give you a run for your money, but I don't know. I think you may even know more than she does. So the one TC thinks you do at the very least, right?
He seems to. Yeah. He's
definitely not hearing us speaking about him here. That's for sure. The episode dedicated to him, he will not listen to.
I mean, if he's listening to 5% of what I record and he chooses the UFC Vegas 69 main card, that's a pretty, there you go. There you are. Yeah, no, that'd be a pretty weird choice on his part.
These episodes are for the hardcores, but luckily we have hundreds of hardcores, most of them in our Discord. Get in the Discord if you aren't in already. Okay. Let's just get this over with, people. It's like pulling off a Band-Aid. We'll just get it over quick and easy, hopefully. I'm going to tell you about WynnBET before we dive into this. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play, sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you want to win free stuff from us, make sure go back to last episode. Gumby told you about our Verdict MMA tournament that we run, and he told you about our props contest that is on right now. So if you don't know about it, go back an episode. All right. Because we're not going through it again here, because we have a big, exciting main card to break down. UFC Fight Night, Andrade versus Blanchfield. Take out, subtract Talia Santos, add in former champ Jessica Andrade, and that is our new main event here. A women's flyweight fight is going down from the UFC Apex Saturday night, ESPN Plus, 7 p.m. So at least it won't be a late night for us people on the East Coast. So we'll give that part of this fight card a thumbs up. All right, I'll give you this one a thumbs up too. Jim Miller's on the fight card, and we're going to talk about him right now. Lightweights, Jim Miller versus Alexander Hernandez. I'm going to tell you about the old dog first. Miller, A10 is the nickname, not the old dog. He's 35-16 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 19 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. So he's been stopped 5 times in 52 fights. Pretty impressive there. 24-15. And one with one no contest in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. He's used to fight at welterweight. The last fight was at welterweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
2008 UFC debut, 2005 pro MMA debut. Striking stats better than Hernandez. He's been outstruck barely over his UFC career, minus 0.14 strikes per minute. He's at plus 190. The great ape, Alexander Hernandez. 13-6, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 5-5 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. He's won 1 of his last 4. He's been finished in his last 2 fights. He's taking this on short notice. Used to fight at featherweight. Was a regional champion. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's an inch taller, an inch of reach on Miller. 9 years younger. He's 1.5 times more active landing strikes. He's been outstruck as well. Actually, worse than Miller. He's been outstruck by 0.45 strikes per minute over his UFC career. Minus 235. All right, I'm starting things off with a big dog. Give me my boy, Jim Miller. He might be turning 40 this year, and this is fight 53, but he's finished 3 straight people. One of them was Donald Cerrone, so that's not a big deal, but like he's been finishing younger people as well. Alexander Hernandez, mediocre, not that good. He's not a great ape, for sure. I think I'm going to pick Jim Miller, and I think he's a very worthy dog, especially getting him at plus 190. So give me Jim Miller.
I'm with you on this one. I'm going to take Jim Miller as well.
Yes.
And for multiple reasons. If you take the last 3.5 years of Alexander Hernandez's fights, the last 3.5 years of Alexander Hernandez's fights, do you know how many times he's won a fight outside of the first round?
How many?
He has not. He has All not right. in the last 3.5 years won a fight that's made it out of the first round, and it's because he's got particularly bad cardio. Anytime he gets out of the first round, there's very little left. And the thing about Jim Miller, you could say what you want about this guy getting old and this guy not being what he used to be, but he's out there finishing dudes all the time, and he's got 3 straight second round finishes. He's knocked out Eric Gonzalez and Nicholas Mota and submitted Donald Cerrone. And all of that happened in the second round, all in the last 2 years. So, like, he's a guy who's, first of all, durable, because in that Nicholas Mota fight, he took some punches in that first round that were particularly stiff. And, like, you might have to worry about him a little bit early in this fight, but, like, he's durable. And at the end of the day, as long as he's durable and he comes forward with that Jim Miller attitude in rounds 2 and 3, I think he's going to finish Alexander Hernandez late here. I think Hernandez is getting choked out.
Yeah, I've seen no reason to not pick Jim Miller basically at this point. Like, he hasn't really shown a decline. He's actually shown he's got old man power. He's finishing people now.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, is like, it's not just that I think he can be crafty and get the takedown and tire out Alexander Hernandez. I think he can knock him out in the second round too.
Hernandez, he was supposed to be good at one point, right?
I think he was. Like, they had him pretty built up when he went to go fight Cowboy Cerrone in New York City.
Yeah.
And then Cerrone, was it New York City or was it in Jersey? It was one of the ones I was live at, because I remember being there. I think it was the first ever UFC fight on ESPN, the one that was headlined by Cejudo versus Dillashaw. And yep. Donald Cerrone knocked him out and just like put it on him. And I think after that, everybody has kind of just seen what he is. And it's a guy who, I mean, he did it in that fight too. He was competitive with Cerrone early. He was getting in his face. He was throwing tons of punches, and it came out in the second round, and it wasn't there anymore. And Cerrone just took it to him and put him away. So yeah, I like Jim Miller a lot here.
All right. We're going in on a big dog to start things off. Let's move up, way up. Light heavyweights. Hooray. William Knight versus Marcin Prochniu. I'm going to tell you about Prochniu first. 15-6, 11 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out 4 times. 2-4 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3. However, again, he did lose his last fight. He's fought at middleweight. He went 4-0 in one championship, so obviously he's amazing. Was a regional champion as well. 2013 MMA professional debut. 5 inches taller than Knight, an inch reach on him. Twice more active landing strikes. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.69 strikes per minute. Minus 105 on Prochniu. Nightmare Knight, 11-4 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice. 3-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight, last one via TKO. Used to fight at heavyweight. He went 2-0 in the Contender Series, was regional champion. He's been outstruck barely over Contender Series and UFC fights by minus 0.04 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are better than Prochniu, minus 115.
My turn?
It's your turn for an amazing light heavyweight fight.
I'm going to take Thick Willie here. And I'm going to take him. I'm not going to say confidently, but there's things about William Knight's game that give me confidence here against Prochniu. And the main one is the way that Prochniu looked against Felipe Lins, which, by the way, how weird is this? Felipe Lins beats the hell out of him. And we see Prochniu up here on the main card.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, the card placement is weird. I'm not one to complain about card placement, but that one's, you know, objectively weird. But the thing about William Knight is like, yeah, I mean, I guess you could probably knock him out. I mean, Devin Clark is the only one who did with a pretty weird knockout, unless you want to go way, way back to his regional scene. But like, he's tough in there. He's a strong grappler. He's the type of guy who can like put you on your ass. And Prochniu got put on his ass a lot by Felipe Lins. So I think Knight has that ability. Also, you know, the only time Knight has been knocked out in the UFC, it was up at heavyweight. If you see him now, if you've seen a picture of him, you know, either on Instagram or whatever, as of late, he's in much better shape. He has like gotten back to 205 in the right way. The dude looks ripped. So I think he's just going to outwork Prochniu and stay out of trouble with the hands. But like, again, yeah, this is a kind of a crapshoot at 205.
I'll take Prochniu. Like you said, it is a crapshoot. I think he's a much better striker from distance than Knight, much bigger than him, even though reach wise he's not that bigger than him. And maybe he has had knockout power in the past, like 11 knockouts among 15 wins. It has been a little while since he knocked people out, but yeah, I think if this turns into a striking battle, which it probably will, I think I like Prochniu a little bit more than Knight, but who's to say? It's a friggin' light heavyweight fight, so who knows? Yeah,
he once got knocked out by Sam Alvey. Did you know that?
Who?
Prochniu.
Really? Well, see, there you go. It's a light heavyweight fight, so.
Yeah, that was, with the exception of a split decision win over Jean Valente, that was Sam Alvey's last win.
Fantastic. All right. Let's move on, shall we, to, oh, good, heavyweight fight. This will be way better. Josh Parisian versus Jamal Pogues. All right, I guess I'll have to break it down for you. Parisian, 15-5, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-2 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win, loss, win. He won his last fight via TKO. 2-0 in the Contender Series, 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, was a regional champion. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 17 pounds heavier than Pogues. He is an inch taller, got 2 inches of reach. He's more active landing strikes. He's been outstruck, however, over his UFC and Contender Series career by 0.14 strikes per minute. He's at plus 195. Jamal the Stormtrooper Pogues, 9-3, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, so he's been finishing all his losses. This is his UFC debut. He went 2-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 2 straight fights and 5 of 6. 0-1 in Bellator, was a regional champion. Used to fight at light heavyweight. 6 years younger than Parisian. He's been outstruck as well, almost the exact same number as Parisian, minus 0.17. His grappling stats are better than Parisian, minus 245. Another fight where, ugh, I got to pick someone here. Give me Pogues, even though he did not really impress that much on Contender Series, but I think he's better than Parisian. So give me, and he's younger at the very least, so give me Pogues.
I actually was pretty impressed with him on Contender Series because he came in as a heavyweight after being away from fighting for a little while, and he still looked fast. Like, he's exceptionally fast for a heavyweight because he used to be a light heavyweight. He was for a while. And similar to William Knight, while he's not going back down to light heavyweight yet, it's very clear that, like, he's working with the Performance Institute to be a actual heavyweight, to, like, you know, get himself in shape and put on some muscle mass and still have probably a huge speed advantage over Josh Parisian here, because, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, Parisian probably needs to grapple to do this. And Pogues is, like, not bad on the mat, and he's not bad at getting his own takedowns for that matter. So I think Parisian is just going to be so, so much slower than Pogues here. Pogues is going to wreck him on the feet. I actually don't think the line is too bad here on Pogues. I think this is this is probably the type of guy you would throw in a parlay if you're not real comfortable with, like, a negative 245.
All right. So we're going to fire Parisian on Sunday then, probably?
Yeah, I mean, he would be 2-3, and his wins would be over Roque Martinez and Alan Botto.
Yep.
It's not the prettiest of resumes, but there's definitely more fireable people on this card.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. But he'll probably get a co-headliner slot next fight, win or lose. So speaking of co-headliners, Dan, here we go. Now the fun part starts. Light heavyweights, Jordan Wright versus Zach Pauga, actually. Wright is, as my light turns off, he is the Beverly Hills Ninja. Did you know that, Dan?
I did. Yeah, I'd heard it once or twice before.
Really? Yeah, because he's been around a long time for some reason. He's still around, Dan.
for some reason. good point.
Still, he's still around.
He's still here.
He's 12-4 with 1 no contest. He has got 7 knockouts, 5 submissions, so he's finished everyone, and he's been finished in all his losses. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 1 time, and there's no contest. He was finished in that fight as well. 2-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, all via finish, and yet here he is again. We have to watch him fight again. He got a no contest on the Contender Series because his opponent popped for weed, but he got KTFO before that. He got knocked out in that fight. He's fight at middleweight. Inch of reach on Pauga, 3 years younger. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series career by 1.87 strikes per minute. Not good. His grappling stats are better than Pauga's, plus 230. Pauga's only fought once in the UFC, though. He's the Ripper, 5-1 with one knockout. He's been knocked out himself once. That was his last fight. The Ultimate Fighter finale, got knocked out at heavyweight by Muhammad Usman, the amazing fighter that he is. Pauga went 2-0 on the Ultimate Fighter. Like I said, he was fighting at heavyweight then. He's back down to his more natural light heavyweight. His striking stats are better than Wright's. He outstruck Usman before getting caught by 3.57 strikes per minute, minus 290. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is clearly a Zach Pauga pick here. I think Pauga still is better than Muhammad Usman. I really do. I think he got unlucky and got clipped there. I'm so happy it brought him back to light heavyweight, though. Like, if he won the heavyweight Ultimate Fighter, there's a chance he just stays at heavyweight because that's what the UFC wants, and it's really not where he belongs. And actually, I talked with him this week. He's on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. We actually talked about how happy he is to be moving to light heavyweight because he has an entirely different style than what he showed on the Ultimate Fighter. On the Ultimate Fighter, you know, he was that, like, I have to be fast boxer because I have to stay away from people. But anybody who's seen him on the regional scene and anybody who's seen him at light heavyweight knows he kind of brings a little bit of that Curtis Blaydes style. Like he trains with Curtis Blaydes and he kind of has a little bit of that similar thing. He grinds people against the cage. He's got good takedowns. He can wear you out and drag you into deep waters and he's vicious with the grounding pound. So like, first of all, I think he's 80 times better than Jordan Wright, even if we take all of that kind of stuff away. Then when you add in that, like, this is a guy who takes all of your space away and beats the hell out of you, like, that's a nightmare for Jordan Wright, a guy who is getting knocked out and getting controlled by middleweights. Now you're going to give him a dude who is going toe-to-toe with heavyweights and doing a damn good job of it in the first place. And he's going to smother you? Like, dude, this is such an easy pick for Pounga. Give me Pounga. This is one you can also put in parlays.
That's a lot of dudes. So Gumby's very sure of this one. He threw a lot of dudes in there. yeah, obviously Pounga is my pick. He's just a better fighter. Maybe he'll actually get a finish finally. He's not a guy that finishes people very often. But Jordan Wright likes to get finished, doesn't he?
He seems to, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, can you explain why, for new listeners, why do you hate Jordan Wright so much? What has he ever done to you, Dan?
I think my hatred for Jordan Wright sparked up when in his debut, you took him very enthusiastically, being like, he's a knockout machine. He's never lost. And I was like, no, first of all, he has lost. Anthony Hernandez knocked him out in 40 seconds and just happened to smoke weed a little bit before then. So like, no, he has lost. Secondly, he's knocking out chumps, like actual chump. Like he had a 4-fight run where the combined record of his opponents was 0-36. Was his 4-fight run, and yes, he got all first round. So like you had cited that he was just like an incredible finisher and all so great and stuff like that, and that pissed me off. I was like, you can't just take a record like that and say he's good. And then, of course, your pick won anyway.
Yep.
I had Ike Villanueva. But, of course, it didn't win based on him knocking somebody out. It won based on a TKO stoppage due to a cut that I think, like, as long as Ike Villanueva survived, he probably would have knocked out Jordan right after that. And then, thank God, Joaquin Buckley stepped up and just, like, you know, punched him into oblivion. And now we've gotten, you know, some good knockouts from Bruno Silva and Dusko Todorovic and hopefully now Zach Pounga.
So this is that turned into just crapping all over me instead of him, which is great.
I think you incited my anger for him.
There's so a lot of
I want to give you credit for the Beverly Hills anger.
There's a lot of buried resentment in that, Gumby, and it all came out right there. that's fine. I will take it because I'm better at picking fights. the best part of that was I won actually after I won that pick after all that stuff. I made you mad. Plus I won the pick. So
yeah. That's where the most of the anger came from, I think.
All right, here goes the only fight worth breaking down. Boy, this is a difficult one to break down. We could have done the whole episode on this one. It's the main event, women's flyweight, Jessica Andrade versus Erin Blanchfield. Let's jump into her. Blanchfield, Erin, cold-blooded Blanchfield. 10-1, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 4-0 in the UFC, 2 straight fights via submission. She's won 7 straight fights. She's not lost since February of 2019. She went 4-1 in Invicta. She's a BJJ champion, 3 inches taller than Andrade, 4 inches reach, 8 years younger. Her striking and grappling stats are better than Andrade's. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 3.34 strikes per minute, plus 135. Beta Estasa, Estaca or Estaca? No,
Estaca.
Esteca means what? Beta Esteca.
Pile driver.
Yes. Perfect nickname for Jessica Andrade. 24-9, 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. But knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 15-7 in the UFC. Used to be the strawweight champion. Somehow she was a strawweight. She used to fight up at bantamweight as well. She won 3 straight fights in 4 of 5. She's taking this on very short notice. We're talking, what, a week? Less than a week?
It's right around a week. They announced it on the broadcast on Saturday, so I assume she knew earlier than that.
Okay. Short notice fighters. Let's go to my stat. I liked it. This one actually pays off quite good. Short notice fighters, 37% win rate, and that's over, this is a big sample size, 210 fights. So this is not a fluky little stat. This year they're winning 67%, but that's over 6 fights. So, all right. So she's got that going against her. 2011 was her pro MMA debut. She's more active landing strikes than Blanchfield. Plus, she's outstruck her UFC opponents by about a strike and a half a minute, 1.54, minus 160. All right, I don't know if I'm going with my head or my heart. Actually, I don't know if I'm going with my head and my heart. I'll go with my heart and take Erin Blanchfield here. I think she's worthy of a dog pick here. I can also, on the other hand, I can also see her picking up her prospect loss here, even though she has lost a fight before. But this is a big step up in competition for her. Jessica Andrade is a monster of a fighter. On the other hand, she's taking this on very short notice. She's a very big, big fighter. So who knows how much weight she's going to have to cut short notice here. Blanchfield is just, she's never fought someone as good as Andrade. Andrade has never fought someone as good of a grappler as Blanchfield is, more than likely. And when you do dive into the stats, Blanchfield, at least over her UFC career, better striking at distance than Andrade is. Obviously, she does not have the striking power that Andrade has, but she's good at landing strikes and avoiding being hit. So she's going to need that this fight. So tough one to pick, but I think Blanchfield is worthy of the dog pick here. So give me the plus, 135.
Yeah, I think you hit so many of like the interesting parts of this fight that make it so hard to pick. Is like, it's really hard to understand whether or not this short notice really affects Jessica Andrade because she is usually so big, but also she's been talking about going back to strawweight. So was like she in the process of dieting herself back down to strawweight, and in which case it won't be a big cut. But then at the same token, you have to imagine she's probably only got at the most 10 days notice for this fight. And like, what does that do for her preparation? And then on top of that too, like, you know, you mentioned, has she fought somebody as good at grappling as Erin Blanchfield? And the answer is, I mean, like maybe Valentina Shevchenko, who took her down at will, right? Mm-hmm. Valentina Shevchenko got 7 takedowns in that fight. I also went back and I watched her fight with Tisha Torres, because Tisha Torres also went 2-2 taking her down, which was kind of surprising for me. I don't typically think of Tisha Torres as a takedown artist, but here's what I gathered from all of the fights where I watched people take down Jessica Andrade, is the people who are successful, because those two are successful, Lauren Murphy, not at all. The people who are successful are the people who are using their strikes to set up takedowns. I think where Lauren Murphy kind of faltered against Jessica Andrade and trying to get her to the ground is that like she was like, I can strike with her, I can hang with her. And then when that went bad, she was like, this is bad, I have to shoot a takedown. And it wasn't set up properly. It wasn't part of the game plan. And you could tell it looked like it wasn't part of the game plan, or it looked like she was only doing it out of desperation. And I think as long as she's going in with that game plan of what she can do to get in on the legs early and get that control and get that submission, I think she's going to have a good chance. I also think this being a 5-round fight might favor her, because it's going to be a grueling fight. I mean, obviously, like if Andrade wins, like the early knockout is always like the way that you probably pick her anyway. But like the longer this fight goes, the more it should favor Blanchfield, as long as, especially with a short camp for Andrade. So yeah, I'm kind of with you in what you said a second ago. I don't know if I'm picking this one entirely with my heart, or at least somewhat with my brains, but I do think she's gonna pull this off.
Gummy felt bad about being so mean to me last fight. I mean, he told me all the great points I have here, so yeah,
buttering you up now.
this is fast tracking her too. They weren't I guess Talia Santos.
He was fighting Talia Santos. I think that was the number one contender fight.
Yeah. So this one definitely is. If she wins this fight, she is being thrown. I guess she's being thrown to the wolves as it is. So, all right, we're both going on Blanchfield. So that's an underdog pick. Both got Blanchfield. We both have Paunga. Both have Pogues. In the pick 'em fight, Gumby has Knight. I have Prochnios. That kind of is fitting, since it's pretty much a pick 'em fight. We both have Miller as a dog, so we're in on some dogs here, which will be fun. All right, speaking of dogs, we're not done. We got locks, dogs, and prop plays coming your way. Whose turn is it? My turn to start on locks, or is it your turn to start on locks?
I think it's your turn to start on locks.
Okay, I forgot we were even doing this. Let me see what my lock is. I'm so sure about all my picks on this card. As I said last episode, it'll be easy to pick a lock here. Give me which line is better? Barely. All right, Onga, -290. It's a ugly line, but he's fighting Jordan Wright. Everybody, come on.
Yeah, I was tempted to do that one. I'm going to do one I feel a little bit more comfortable with that I don't think is all that much worse, which I think is the one you were just debating between. I'll take Clayton Carpenter over Ronderos. Yep. Yeah, I could tell by you being like, which one's the better line? And it is by just five. So, yeah, like kind of chalky locks this week, negative 290, negative 295. But like a lot of these close fights are like weird light heavyweight fights. And if we're really being honest with a lock here, the locks are those guys.
Yep. All right. Dog. Give me Jim Miller plus 190.
Bingo. Me too. Yeah.
All right.
Like of the dogs on this one, and I do like Garimbo, and I do like you know, Blanchfield, but like we said, there's so many questions about Blanchfield. And hey, I can't believe Jim Miller is a 2-1 dog here. That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah, like ignore his age and his experience. Look at his actual recent resume. And but hey, we shall take it. All right, props. What can I get for Paunga via knockout? Is that
you love doubling down, huh?
Sure.
Paunga via knockout is negative 150.
Negative 150?
Yeah. I hear some hesitation in your voice.
Yeah, because it's not that low. It's not that great, but do I have anything better?
Do you want me to pick mine and you can
Yeah,
stall?
Sure. You pick yours. Go ahead.
Because I have kind of a big one that I'm in on for my prop this week. I'm gonna take Nazim Sadikov by knockout. You know, I mentioned I wasn't super enthused by Sadikov at negative 185 because, you know, I think there's a chance Evan Elder comes in there and he wrestles a little bit and he goes for that part of his game. If Sadikov does win, I think he probably just destroys Elder on the feet. And if that's the case, the number on Sadikov, like I said, for the money line is negative 185, but the KO prop is plus 235.
Nice.
So you're basically turning around, you know, a 2-1 favorite and making him a bigger than 2-1 dog, which is pretty uncommon. So, you know, kind of a bomber for me there, but I like Sadikov by KO.
What is Pogues via KO? I may like that one better.
Pogues by KO is plus 245.
All right. Give me that. What do you think of that pick?
I love it quite a bit because if you look at my Hungry Man Jog Parlay, you might find.
Here we go. Go ahead.
You might find Pogues via KO. Right, yeah. So, yeah, I also liked Jamal Pogues by KO as my Hungry Man Jog Parlay prop. I think, you know, it's going to be that high because if you go back and you look at his like regional record, he didn't finish a lot of people. But I think like with the change in training and the fact that he's working at the Performance Institute and he's working out the right part of his game and it's at heavyweight and Josh Parisian sucks at striking, like I think the knockout's going to be there. So I like Jamal Pogues by KO. That one's, like you said, is plus 245. And then another one that I'm going to squeeze in there to make the Hungry Man Jong parlay is I like Clayton Carpenter by knockout too. I mentioned before, Ronderos' best attributes are his grappling. I don't think his grappling's all that good. I think Carpenter could beat him there too. But Carpenter's got a bunch of head kick knockouts. I think another one's coming in a second. Plus 240 for Carpenter by knockout, which seems really juicy. So when you put that in Pogues' KO together, you're going to get a return of 1073. I will also just quickly mention the last time we did two KO props together, we cashed a 1540 prop with Billy Quarantillo and Chris Curtis. So this is the first time we've done double KO since then. So maybe it's a good week to get in on the Hungry Man John.
It's always a good week for that. It's always worth your while to throw a few shekels on that. All right, we'll recap. Gumby, lock, Carpenter. My lock is Paunga. Gumby, underdog, Miller, as is mine. And Gumby's prop is Sadikov via knockout or TKO plus 235. Mine is Pogues knockout / TKO plus 245. And Hungry Man Jog, Pogues KO and Carpenter KO, right?
That sounds right to me.
That sounds winning to me. All right. Hopefully y'all enjoyed that. And usually when we think fight cards are crappy, they end up being fun to watch. So may not be really super meaningful other than the main event, but it'll still be fun. So make sure you watch it and get in the Discord and discuss it with us or make fun of the fighters that are how bad some of them are. We're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA, that's more your speed. Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer, they're the three accounts you need to follow. Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast apparently is in our feeds right now. If you subscribe, so make sure you listen to that. Make sure you subscribe and enter my pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. and read all their stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Sound good?
I think you hit it all.
Great. It's all over to you, Gumby.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He's the Elbow Queen, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.